Providing relay assist for a Red Cross emergency frequency. I have a good orientation with my 40 meter dive hole because it's strung east and west. So my south broadside orientation with that antenna is really good. So I was able to tune in and do some relaying up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because they lost power in many locations. They said over, what is it, a million people or so without power? Excuse me, I'm yawning. I called a friend of mine who lives down in Lake Worth area, and I spoke to him yesterday, and I think he's got a cell phone. I don't think it's a wired phone, but I can't reach him. No answer. I don't think he evacuated. At least he said he was not going to, but I have a feeling there's no cell service. Maybe for two reasons. One, maybe there's no power to the cell sites, possibly, if there's no battery backup. And the other thing is that maybe the system is overloaded. The cell system can only accommodate so many people. If everyone's making calls because of this, they're not going to get through. So I called and there's no answer. It just keeps ringing.
Yeah, well, what happens is that the phone companies, at least in the past, and with a logical sense, would choke traffic inward to allow more traffic outward if there is a certain capacity for traffic to occur. Another thing is, just in the concept of the cell phone service as it is, just in not in the data portion at the higher frequencies, but in the mobile phone portion of it, ringing or ringing somebody's line or notifying, it's not like ringing, requires more energy and bandwidth. Voice is the next that requires energy and bandwidth. I mean, the highest level of signaling would be the rings, requiring more energy. Let this recycle. Might want to try texting, because texting does not require ring signaling, and it doesn't require voice bandwidth, and it's simple data. It's not the data like the data that you use for the internet on your phone, because texting goes over the mobile phone portion, but in short data spurts. So you might want to try texting, KD2FIU.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know. I have to look this up. But it's got me questioning, how many calls can be made on one particular cell site at any given time. What's the maximum number of calls? There is a limit, you know, and that's possible that that's what's going on, because there is a switch that has to handle the amount of calls to where it's connected to. So I'm not sure about ring. I'm not sure about ring bandwidth, but I can find out. So it depends where the sites are, the cell sites, and if the sites are actually powered up. See, in this particular case, calling him, I believe I'm calling him on his cell phone, and I think that's all he has in his house. So, since his house is fixed, he's not moving, probably going through the same cell tower. I would think. And if the cell tower is down, you may not, or maybe adjacent cell tower, or maybe both are down at the same time. Of course, the situation. So, yeah, that would make sense. All right. Oh, I'm going to try him again tomorrow, see if he's around. Well, maybe he evacuated, like a lot of people did. But, yep, it's a bad thing, and it's a good thing that you got communication, because at least you can help out for sure.
Yeah, well, the cell sites, not only the towers, the cell sites, it's the grade of the antenna, it's how it's affecting its distance from other cells, how many cells are around it. So one cell site doesn't have a specific number of calls available to be up at one time, initiated at one time, or originated at one time like that. It depends. It depends upon the equipment. It depends upon the company. It depends upon their network, how many sites, how their cell switching systems are arranged, different things like that. So we can't say that one cell site or any given equipment can be a maximum amount that a cell site can handle. It's up to the company and how they position it on their network, and how they provision that site on their network, what kind of system they're using, how many channels are available, all of that. That's all very different. And what I meant by ringing was not really ringing. It was a notification signaling protocol that's available. And that's stronger than the mobile voice link itself, and which is all much stronger than the text message itself, because the text message itself is not really going onto your data plan. That's a different thing altogether. That's a different frequency, a totally different protocol, higher amount of energy. So texting is really the simplest and the lightest, because it doesn't require notification signal.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Right, I just missed like the 2 seconds at the very end. Okay. Yeah, I understand. I don't know what system he's got, what he's using. I have the Sprint. I use LTE network, which is part of Verizon. I believe. I think it's Verizon anyway. So. Yeah, my phone is actually a dual band phone. I think most phones are. They switch back and forth between what, 800 megs and 1900 megs or so. So again, I don't know what they're using down there, what he's got. But we'll see. All right, I'm gonna go to sleep. I just got home. I was at a party all day, and I'm really tired. I just wanted to ask Dick a question. That's why I came on. But I'll give him a call tomorrow. In fact, the party is interesting, because my aunt and uncle are up in Florida, where they have a home, and my cousin has a home down there too, and he also has a home here. So they were concerned about their houses, but luckily they're up here anyway. So I will be in touch, George. Maybe I'll see you at the meeting. There's a Weimark meeting on Wednesday. Stand by. I didn't want to time it out. Weimark meeting Wednesday. I don't know if you want to go. So I'm letting you know about that if you want to see. There's going to be a talk on military. I got to look at the log again to see what the talk is on. It's military something, I forget what. But Ron W2TAP is giving the talk. Alright, back to you.
Yeah, Andy, problems driving in the dark. Very big problems with it. I can drive and I enjoy it, but big problems driving in the dark, and I gotta do something about it. I gotta know. I don't know. to start with some type of ophthalmological evaluation, but it's been at least 12 years. I've been having big problems driving in the dark, but I can drive. I can drive as long as there's daylight, and I want to go, but hey, you know, I got to talk to you about this field day coming up soon, so I'll catch you tomorrow. And I know we're both collapsing here. 73, Andy.
Now, you're talking about the field day at the library?
Yeah, I'll talk to you more about that tomorrow. Because, yeah, I want to collapse, too. And I want to try something different for an antenna. KD2FIU. We'll catch you later, man.
Okay, very good. I'll post a big day tomorrow, WHCDM.
Net tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73. And good night from the WQVL repeater. Welcome to the WQVL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club Repeater System, code number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club Repeater System, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
WQVL repeater system. Welcome to the WQVL repeater. WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System. System. WQVL Repeater. WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Station to our 100% noise.
Repeater system.
D2KNH, KD2ESY.
KD2KNH, good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Charlie. I think you guys cheated.
Oh, it was that magnetic GPS we stuck to his truck before he left.
I told them that they should have actually gone straight north on 106, and then we could have at least bisected the territory at that point. But they decided to go through another town. They stopped. They cut off early, and we lost.
Hey, it's always a crapshoot, I guess. We just decided to go straight, and Andy had the Doppler, and it just pointed right in the correct direction, and we knew where we were going.
That is pretty cool how it works, though. We ended up with some couple of eerie places in the past. Was it Chelsea Manor? It was in that same area. And there was an old abandoned building in the woods, which is kind of creepy. It looked like a drug lair.
Yeah, there are still some interesting places on the island. I remember years ago hunting in the RCA property over by Grumman, and there was the remnants of some kind of like a transmitting facility.
Maybe they would have been throwing out some old radios. Would have been nice collector's item. One of the guys is going to loan me their FT-817. So there is some available cable on the flopping shop I'm going to get from Richie. I'll use that, then I have to get started putting the stuff together. I want to do this before the cold weather sets in.
Absolutely, this should be fun. Just remember, the 817 is 5 watts, but it'll work.
Yep, I was going over some of the review yesterday, and a number of the Yaesu models have a very similar format. I think it was Larry that told me that they all pretty much work the same, software is the same, so if you go from one to another, it makes it really easy. So that'll be good. I just got an extra cheap HT, just in case we have a little communication difficulties, if Jose causes us an issue.
Well, it's always good to be prepared. That's one of the reasons why I picked up a generator, and of course, it's got a carburetor issue, so I may be returning it if they're not going to send me a new carburetor. Sputtering a little bit.
What's a carburetor?
Well, they still are used for lawnmowers and generators, unfortunately. It'd be nice if it was electronic ignition and injection.
All you have to do is spray a little gunk in there, it'll kick a few times, and then it should be okay. Is it a new generator? Or is it one that you've had for a while, that's why you need a new carburetor?
No, it's factory new. Just picked it up last Friday. And I was breaking it in on Saturday, and it just wouldn't calm down and behave. It was sputtering.
Can you take it off and see what's going on? Maybe there was some moisture inside of the lines there when you filled it up.
Well, I let it run an hour, and it didn't calm down, so what I'll do before I take anything apart is check with them to see if they want to swap it out or if they want to send me another carburetor or if they have somebody that can adjust it. But, you know, I'm not going to play games being it's new.
That's correct. Take care of it right away. Unless the gas you put in was bad. I remember putting gas in my mom's car years ago, and it was kicking and kicking for a while until it finally got through that moisture part. But I'm assuming it was. I think the gas station just recently had a fill-up at the station. You know, the tanker came in. So I don't like filling up when the tankers come in.
Well, You know, I used to be concerned years ago, but the filtering systems they have today, I don't think it's an issue any longer. You know, plus the amount of gas they continually turn over. Years ago, I drove an oil truck, and people always accused me of having old oil in the truck. I'm like, I fill the truck up twice a day.
Yeah, that seems ludicrous. Old oil. Oil turns over very quickly. Deliveries to the storage facility, delivery to the stations, no. It turns over too fast.
Well, people have, you know, their own ideas, and not always correct, as you know.
Well, people are crazy, as you know. The gas prices, I think, are going to jump up again quite a bit. Now, with Texas knocked out, I knew it was going to go up. My wife and I were talking about that a week before the storm. Now, Florida's knocked out. It's going to jump up, watch, easy, over $3. Watch this.
Yeah, but with all the gas not going to Florida, there should be an oversupply for the rest of us.
Normal people don't understand that. You and I do. We do. But you know that any disaster, natural or man-made, is taken advantage of, and it really is a crying shame.
Absolutely. And I hope that the people that are going to be dealt with severely in Houston and in Florida, that we're price gouging everyone for basic necessities.
That happens with every disaster. Have you heard of any instances? Oh, look up ahead, the sign. Premium. $3.01. There we go. And, oh, wait a minute. That's medium. High test, 321.
KD2KNH. Yes, I was paying $2.75 over the weekend for regular.
That's what it is out here in Smithtown. The Speedway. I think it's Speedway? Yeah, Speedway. So what have you heard about people getting in trouble for price gouging down there?
Oh, it's happening a lot in Florida. And, you know, asking outrageous prices for bottled water, $90 for a case or $45 for a case, and the Attorney General is going after them. So, you know, they have a list of the people they're going to go after, and she said the fines are astronomical.
Excellent. Good. I like to hear that. People should not be taking advantage of people in a situation like that. You know what? If anything, people need it that bad, you give it away, for goodness sakes. And if you have to, try to take it as a tax write-off. But you got to help one another. That's really sick.
Yes, I believe there was a gas station chain, 7-Eleven, you know, and then of course, both gas station and 7-Eleven headquarters basically made major donations and explained that they were franchises. They weren't, you know, wasn't them that was doing this.
KD2ESY. A couple more lights will be at work. On the news, did you hear about that store, that furniture store in Texas that was taking people in? Can you believe it? A furniture store. An elderly gentleman who was doing whatever he could to help these people out.
Yes, I did hear that. Yeah, he was bringing in a lot of people, and they were living there, and, you know, sleeping on the furniture, and, you know, that's when you know who good people really are. There was also a furniture chain that, you know, donated $1 million worth of new furniture, and, you know, there's all kinds of donations come in, as it usually does, no matter what happens in the country.
Some of the usuals were not on 440 this morning. Maybe they're sleeping late or took a day off. Really, really quiet on the air. A couple more lights, so I'm going to sign. Charlie, thanks for coming back. Maybe we'll catch you on another hunt soon. And Andy, Larry, those guys are trying to get people together for a foot hunt, which would be kind of interesting. The other day I was with Neil, who had his little tape measure, Yagi. That was pretty cool. And I was watching him, and I knew where the bait was, but he was in the wrong direction for quite a while, so I'm wondering why that happened. Maybe reflections off some of those trees. I'm going to sign. Have a good day. Well, maybe we'll catch you later. KD2ESY.
All right, Andy. Yeah, the hunt was fun. Definitely enjoyed it. It was a long drive, but, you know, it was worth it. KD2KNH, I'll be going clear as well. 73.
Thanks for coming inland here, Charlie. And have a good day. KG2ESY clear 73, Charles. Thanks again.
Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
N2EO, or N2MB, K6DZ. Copy me, call me on the cell phone. K6D, and hello?
WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
KA2GEF Test. KA2GEF testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. KA2GEF clear, echo link.
Kilo Alpha 2 Golf Echo Foxtrot. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. K2GEF clear.